listening WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring, and I'm happy to have Cameron Swallow with us today. And she is the Wisconsin State Coordinator for Braver Angels. And that is a group described as a grassroots nationwide depolarization movement. And I know Cameron will be able to explain what that actually means to all of us. And also a special event that is coming up next week. And we hope that will help affect the community and celebrate some of the things that might be coming our way. So Cameron, first, Braver Angels, what does that mean? What is it?
Thank you, Jane. I'm glad to be here today. And Braver Angels is a national grassroots nonprofit that exists in all 50 states. And it's really ordinary people working to bring other ordinary people together in ways that our society is not encouraging anymore. We are naturally self-segregating by red, blue political opinions. That's the great divide in our culture. And Braver Angels is insisting on bringing reds and blues together for reminders of our common humanity, that we, you know, the other side is not all monsters, and we have more in common than we are being told that we do. And we're hoping that creating some of these opportunities for shared experiences will encourage connections to be made so that there will be more opportunities for shared experiences.
To me, it seems like we are so far down the road of polarization that I worry about the potential of getting back together without some major catastrophic event, although there have been several of them, but that would just push it over the edge. But you are really, this Braver Angels is trying to do it now and in a better way. So it describes some of the things that Braver Angels tries to do to have people understand the humanity of others.
The first offerings of Braver Angels were an all-day workshop. So they originally brought 10 reds and 10 blues together in the winter of 2016 and talked about the election of 2016, and everyone left there, that full day, 7-hour retreat, feeling as if they'd caught lightning in a bottle, like, oh, this is the medicine that our society needs, that if everyone could have this experience, we could heal our nation. And so it spread from there, but they quickly realized that asking people to give a whole day was a steep price to ask people to pay. So then they started writing shorter workshops, and then the pandemic came, and they had online workshops. And when I say workshops, these are very structured training exercises. So it's not a free-for-all. It doesn't ever spiral out of control, because there is a trained moderator leading each activity and giving the participants chances to practice in small bites. So you don't ever have to worry about a fight breaking out in the middle of a Braver Angels workshop, because it's structured not to get out of hand like that.
I have so many more questions about the workshops, but I do want to one of the reasons we're talking today is because next week you're bringing the Kenosha Summer Shindig to town, as well as having some of the workshops. Why don't you tell me about that to begin with, and then we'll come back. And like I say, I've got many questions about the workshops.
Okay, well, the Kenosha Summer Shindig was born from some conversations, first with my friend Ben Karen, whom I met in the summer of 2020, only virtually. He was planning his own Reunited States project, which is very closely aligned with the mission of Braver Angels, but he had never heard Braver Angels at that time. He was trying to visit 7 Midwestern cities, particularly in swing states like Wisconsin, in the 7 weekends before the 2020 election to bridge that same political divide that Braver Angels was conceived to bridge. And when he chose Kenosha as one of his places, he was originally planning to visit in person, but the pandemic changed those plans and made it be a virtual weekend. The people he initially approached about Kenosha put him in touch with me because they saw that his project sounded a lot like Braver Angels. So Ben is a musician, and when I saw him in person for the first time in 2021, we said, gosh, Ben, if you're going to be coming through the Midwest annually on your way to visit your family for the 4th of July in rural Iowa, then next time you come through Kenosha, I will get you a concert venue, and we'll have a music concert for you. And he said, great, let's plan on it. So that's where it began, was with Ben's visit. And then the development of my path with Braver Angels has put me on the National Music Team, which originally sponsored a songwriting contest for Braver Angels and has ended up putting Braver Angels music videos and songs embedded in the workshops that were very effectively moved to slide decks and Zoom and online demonstrations. So I have this whole committee of Braver Angels music people that I've been working with for over 2 years, and they've never met in person. So when I started talking to them about Ben's visit, they said, hey, let's all go. And so the Shindig is going to have the national music team of Braver Angels descending on Kenosha and having our very first in-person meeting of that whole team.
That sounds exciting.
And when that started happening, we decided to stretch it by a day. So instead of being just a music jam and then a concert 2 days, we put a day in between for a Braver Angels Common Ground workshop and a songwriting lab led by my friend Micah Hendler, who's the blue lead of the Braver Angels national music team. He's coming in from D.C. His red partner is coming in from North Dakota, and together they're going to help me do the Common Ground workshop, and then Micah is going to lead the people who do the workshop in the songwriting lab for the afternoon.
You must be really excited about this. I know you're a talented musician yourself, and to be able to have local and national musicians together. What's the importance of music? What's the link of music to the whole depolarization movement?
Well, for me, music is the perfect metaphor for breaking down barriers, crossing barriers. Music is a powerful example of crossing racial barriers in American history. It is also an example in my personal experience in bluegrass bands of already, sort of embodying the crossing of the red-blue divide. I've been in 2 bluegrass bands, and both of them have had committed liberals and committed conservatives coexisting in the same group and making beautiful music together. So that's it's a model and a metaphor for me to cross other divides, and that crossing divides is healthy and positive.
Now, we know you're in a bluegrass band, and you've mentioned that you're having some of the national music team. Is it all sorts of, all different types of music that will be coming as part of the shindig?
Yes, to extend that metaphor, the other kinds of barriers that we're going to be crossing are the barriers of musical genre. So the exuberant string quartet of Kenosha, with members of the Kenosha Symphony, will be attending, and the rock band Lund from Kenosha will be attending, and Jeremiah Lund will be running sound for the showcase on Thursday and the jam at my house on Tuesday night. So we've got classical rock, bluegrass, got some folks coming to do freestyle rapping, and we'll work them into the existing music. We'll have some fusion performances, and Ben Karen, the original guest whose cross-country trip is designating the timing of this whole shindig, he runs facilitated jams. So he will be the MC, and he will call different people up to play in different combinations, and all kinds of new connections will be made that weren't even imagined before the musicians, who were, you know, strangers before Tuesday night, got together and met each other.
Now that's sounding very interesting. I make an assumption that each group will come up and perform their usual thing, which on its own sounds pretty awesome, especially with that variety. But you think you're going to be mixing it up a little bit with different musicians playing something that they don't normally perform?
That's right. The mixing it up is the point. So structurally, the evening on Tuesday will be some jams in different corners of our yard by the lake at Carthage College. People just trying things out and saying, do you know this song? And working the fiddle solo into the new song, and people meeting new people. And then when you get to the facilitated jam with Ben, he'll have certain people holding down the bass or the drum, the rhythm section, and then people will cycle through in different combinations, and the chord progression will get laid out, and people will improvise over that. And you might have a saxophone solo and a cello in the same group, and you just don't know what is going to evolve on that jam stage.
It sounds pretty darn exciting. I can't wait to take a listen to it. But I do want to make sure, I believe the cutoff for registration for this was the 21st, correct? So people would not be able to participate?
I would love for people to get in touch with me by email and ask. I'm actually getting in touch. I'm meeting with Ben tomorrow to see what the registration numbers look like. I don't think that we are over our limits, so I would love for people to get in touch with me and talk about wanting to come. One question I can anticipate is, can I come if I'm not a musician? And the answer is yes, because musicians need audiences as well.
Oh, that's definitely me. I'm coming as an background in music, yes. Haven't played in ages, but I am looking forward to listening, and it sounds pretty exciting. So now that's kind of part one, correct, of the activities next week. Let's talk more about the workshop side of things.
Mm-hmm. The workshop on Wednesday morning is the Braver Angels workshop called Common Ground, in which you choose 4 to 6 reds and 4 to 6 blues. They don't have to be card-carrying members of the Democratic Party or the Republican Party. They just have to be approaching a certain issue of local significance from either a red angle or a blue angle. So it's more issue-based than general ideology and what party you're associated with. And the issue of local significance that we have chosen is how best to develop and rebuild the uptown area of Kenosha. Mm. So we have 4 committed people signed up on both sides of that issue, and we have a 5th possible, but not yet certain. But we will have a successful Common Ground workshop on Wednesday morning from 9 to 12. That is not an open event. It's going to be for those people and a few selected observers. And some of those observers are chosen with the eye of using this same model for a different topic of local significance in the future. So, could we imagine having other local conversations with a Common Ground workshop in the morning and a songwriting experience in the afternoon? So one of the people traveling with Ben Heron in his cross-country trip caravan is a chef, and he's going to be using my kitchen to prepare a meal for the people to share after they've done their Common Ground workshop, which consists of 5 carefully constructed and moderated activities, some with reds in one corner, blues in the other, some with matched pairs, red and blue, and some all in one group with a task to do. And of course, the goal is reaching common ground and points that everyone can agree on about how best to rebuild and develop uptown Kenosha. We will all have that lunch together that's prepared by one of the travelers, and then we will move into the songwriting lab, where Micah will take points from the Common Ground workshop that everyone will have experienced together, and we will get other people's highlights and ideas, and a song, or maybe multiple songs, will emerge that afternoon, which will get a premiere performance at the showcase concert at the Kenosha Creative Space on Thursday night at 7 p.m.
And is that concert open to the public, or is that part of the sign-up process?
It's on the sign-up registration, but it will be first come, first serve, and I don't expect it to overflow. I mean, what I'm hoping it does overflow, actually, but the current level of registration is not overflowing the creative space. So people should feel invited and excited about coming out on that Thursday night at 7 p.m. to hear the new Common Ground Braver Angels song that was born on Wednesday.
Sounds very cool. Going back to just talking in general these types of depolarization events. I'm going to sound a little devil's advocate-ish on this question, but it seems like people who are more open to change and more open to depolarization are the people who are going to come where the people who really need it aren't going to come. And I'm not the first person, I'm sure, who brought that up. How do you deal with that attitude?
Well, I ask people to envision the bell curve, the normal curve from statistics class, where the most of the area is under the tall bell in the middle of that graph. And then there's a little tail that tails off to the left and a little tail that tails off to the right. Braver Angels was not conceived to change anybody's minds, and therefore the target audience is not the people who are in those little tails. Braver Angels was conceived to remind the huge majority of the population that exists under the big bell in the middle of the graph that there are a whole lot more of us under this bell than there are in those tails spouting the extreme rhetoric and not open to any kind of search for common ground. It's reminding us that we are the majority and we can work together. And so, yes, there is some self-selection, as you are describing, but it's the kind of self-selection that I hope will lead to action. Like, oh, we have more in common than we have that separates us, and we can learn not to listen to those voices out in the tiny tails of the graph, and we can work together as the real majority of good-hearted Americans with community spirit.
I think that's an excellent reminder. Will we also get tools, whether it's psychological tools for ourselves to use, or if it's an actual something that we can, when we hear things that we think lead to polarization, will we get a tool on how to, de-escalate that?
Every Braver Angels workshop gives some of those tools. So anyone who participates in a Braver Angels workshop can be assured of coming away with tools like you're describing. Now the audience members at the Braver Angels showcase are probably not going to get, you know, direct instruction and practice in those tools, but they will be inspired by the music that has come out of this gathering of people of goodwill, both reds and blues.
I think it's kind of interesting, too, where you found people who clearly felt comfortable identifying themselves as reds or blues, and then to come out to something like this and be pretty open and honest about that. Was that difficult?
Historically, yes. Braver Angels, and certainly music and the arts, right? Music and the arts skew blue. Mm-hmm. And so we, in the Braver Angels music team, we have a joke about the hunt for the red musician. But even if it's not easy, it is possible, right? They do exist. And I'm very grateful for the leadership of Alma Cook, the red leader of the National Music Team for Braver Angels, who will be present and be helping with both the Common Ground Workshop and the Songwriting Lab. It's an ongoing challenge for Braver Angels to continue to have consistent engagement that appeals to reds as well as blues. That is a challenge, but it is not an impossible challenge.
I want to turn a little bit more to the topic that was chosen, and that's develop and rebuild Uptown. I know you're quite involved with that effort. Were there other reasons why that in particular was chosen?
I guess what made it seem natural is the Building Our Future series of community discussions at Brass Community School this spring. Yes. about affordable housing and the question about rebuilding and development intersects largely with the question of housing and affordability and gentrification and all of those questions. And it's not identical to it, but it has a lot of intersections. So I felt as if those questions were already in the air, and this was an extension of something that the community was already engaged in and talking about.
It does make sense. Now, if there are reports to come out of this conference, I don't know if it is the training and the workshop for the individuals who are participating, but do you anticipate that there will be findings based on what people say and what their feelings are that would be communicated to the city and to those who develop or are in the process of trying to redevelop Uptown?
Well, I'll say one thing about input and one thing about output. A Common Ground workshop that's about a locally significant issue has the possibility of collecting locally significant documents, writings, statistics, reports, and Heather Westling from CABA has many of those documents, and the folks at Building Our Future also have graphs and statistics and reports from that housing study and those conversations. And we will be making those documents available as like generally held resources for all of the participants in the discussion. So we have something to work with, and it's not just what somebody feels in their heart or what their neighbor said, right? There's information that we can all share in common and have a starting point. And then that's the input part. Now the output part is part one of those five structured activities that we do with the Reds and Blues is coming up with priorities and values in the separate color-designated groups. And then they exchange their lists and they do a mutual editing process, crossing out things that they could not agree with, but circling things that they could agree with. And then they recompare those lists and they end up with a physical, written, black and white list of points in common. And that is the product, the output of a Common Ground workshop. So the points of agreement can indeed be shared after the end of the Common Ground workshop.
Excellent. I know I sound like putting little exclamation points to what you're saying, but I can see where that's going to be very useful, not only to participants to say, oh, I didn't think they would agree with that, as you look to the other side. And I think that's going to be helpful just to see how much you might have in common in terms of opinions and beliefs as how people interpret statistics. And I think that alone is going to be rather interesting because you can look, as you know, two different people can look at the same statistics and still walk away with completely different important. And I would imagine that you're going to hear some of that at the workshop.
Yes, I hope so. Yes, because Brave Angels does not try to avoid conflict. They try to build common ground using conflict, right? Conflict is the building material that strengthens the ground on which we stand together. We're not trying to push anything under the rug. We're not trying to change anybody's mind. We're trying to talk things out and see what common ground or even higher ground we might create together.
Now, this project obviously is a huge one, and as the state coordinator, as a state coordinator for Braver Angels, what else do you do with them through the rest of the years? You've kind of talked how you've gotten in contact with various groups, but what do you do on a monthly, annual basis if you're not coordinating a huge event like this?
Well, my focus lately has been to try to strengthen and increase my number of connections with groups that are already statewide, like Rotary Clubs statewide, like UW Extension offices in every county, like the League of Women Voters in every area. So that Braver Angels doesn't have to make its own structure, but it can ride with, as partners with people who already have a statewide structure. It's a network of all volunteers, and I would love to have more moderators giving workshops, more organizers hosting workshops, more connections getting the word out. I'd love to have somebody make a newsletter for us because I don't have those skills, at least not yet. And we're just trying to get a real sense of a statewide organization.
I see. That makes sense. And again, the things that you've mentioned, educational organizations such as UW-Madison Extension, and then also the service clubs like Rotary. I think that's interesting that you're reaching out to these different groups. What kind of, if you can give an example of an organization that you have been touching base with locally that have statewide connections, are you just asking them if they would sponsor a workshop, or what are you hoping to achieve in those partnerships?
This could go as, you know, one Rotary Club invites me to talk about what Braver Angels is, like a promotional, but not give a workshop because they don't have 2 hours to give to it. And then another Rotary Club asked me to do the same thing. Well, that will only go so far, right? I don't want to spend all my time advertising about what Braver Angels is, but nobody actually invites me to give a workshop. So the best thing that happened there was that the big Madison downtown Rotary Club decided they wanted not only to have me present at their meeting and advertise what Braver Angels could do, but they also wanted to sponsor a workshop So we did that. And then they invited me and other people who are associated with them and Rotary, invited me to the Tricon Conference, which brought people from all over the state of Wisconsin to do not a promotional advertising bit, but a full-scale Braver Angels debate about whether health care is a human right or not. And people saw how that worked, and they were so thrilled with the idea of having civil dialogue about something that was important in the public square, and all voices were heard and respected, and they were just thrilled, and they want to do more of these things. But then we got into the summer, and people are just planning their fall calendars. So I'm hopeful for hearing more debates and workshops in the future.
So a debate, that's you're bringing up something new. Debate in some people's mind would be polarizing.
Right. So there has been blue opposition to the word debate, but they've kept, because of just exactly what you said, but they've kept the word debate because there has been red opposition to the idea of workshops and sitting around in circles talking about things, and that's not action-based enough to appeal to reds. And debates sound like you're actually going to get something done, reach a conclusion, do something, and that's more appealing to reds. But rest assured, it is not a bash your opponent, score more points than the other guy kind of debate. The subtitle of a Braver Angels debate is seeking truth, not victory.
Ah. Well, you know, and you just brought up a good point. People who want to do something and not just talk, you've kind of couched the debate as something along those lines, but are there other things that become actionable points after a workshop, let's say?
This Common Ground workshop, absolutely. You leave with a tangible list of locally applicable points of agreement that you can take to elected leaders, that you can, you know, step out and say, I'm going to take this action step and my brother's going to take this other one, you know. So the Common Ground workshop is uniquely positioned to give you some actionable steps at the end of it.
We only have a couple of minutes left, but what is, when all of this is over at the end of next week, what will you hope you have accomplished and have seen?
Well, I'm going to take one of these minutes to talk about the Human Library, which I haven't mentioned at all, which is also open to the public on Thursday afternoon, June 30th. It's going to be at the Wyndham Hotel. People can come in and check out a human book, and the books will have their titles on little signs, like, have you ever met someone who grew up in a different country and immigrated to the United States? Have you ever met someone who is a trans person? Have you ever met someone who is a victim of domestic abuse and now an activist for protecting other victims of domestic abuse? It gives you an opportunity to meet and talk with someone about an important topic that you might not ever get to in a surface polite sort of cocktail party conversation. And then you have a 30-minute conversation, and then you take the book back to the library. And if you have another half hour, you can check out another book and take part in the Human Library. And their subtitle is Unjudge Someone. And as many people as want to can come to the Wyndham Hotel and check out a book and have a 30-minute conversation between 11 and 3 on Thursday, June 30th.
Thank you so much, Cameron. I'm excited to learn about those common points concerning the development and rebuilding of the Uptown neighborhood that will arise from next week's session. Also to see the results of improved understanding and respect of each other's views. We've been talking with Cameron Swallow, the Wisconsin State Coordinator for Braver Angels. That's a grassroots nationwide depolarization effort. Numerous activities are planned next Tuesday through Thursday, some of which are open to the public, but by reservation only. The musical Kenosha Summer Shindig will start things off Tuesday evening. While registration deadline is passed for all of the events, Cameron did indicate that space may be available. Two places to check. You can try their web-based registration, and I'll say it here, but we'll also post that on the website on Monday. http://b-it.ly/Kenosha Shindig, KenoshaShindig, or email Cameron at Cameron, CAMERON, swallow@gmail.com. And Cameron urges anyone who may want to host a workshop for their organization, and again, that workshop is on Braver Angels and their approach, to please contact her using that email, which is again, cameron.swallow@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to Community Matters today. I'm Jane Herring.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
I'm Gregory Berg, and Monday's morning show features an interview originally scheduled to air last week with James Parker, a staff writer for The Atlantic Monthly Magazine, talking about his book, Get Me Through the Next 5 Minutes, Odes to Being Alive. It's a collection of odes published in the magazine in which he praises some surprising things. Ode to procrastination, ode to crying babies, ode to difficult people, and much more. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
WGTD HD, Kenosha Racine.